Well, I'd have something else picked out this morning, but I don't know, but when my wife fixed me this water this morning to bring here, I got to thinking about the water. You know, we have got to have water. You know, we can go with food without food for a while, but water, we need water, because that's another nourishment to our body. It cools us off at times, and if we don't have nothing to drink, I mean, our mouth can get dry, and when it gets dry, it gets to the point. Well, mine does. I believe mine is from one of the pills that I'm taking. And if I ever find out which pill it is, I ain't taking it no more. But I know you can put your head up all you want to, but I ain't gonna take it no more. I mean, because anybody that has never had a dry mouth where his tongue sticks to the roof of the mouth and they can't speak, that's something, I tell you. But, you know, we have seen where the scripture down through the Old Testament and even the New Testament also, that there's mention of water just about in every book of the Bible. And we know there in the book of Exodus let's go back up to the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, he created the water. I mean, there was nothing but completely flooded and everything. But Noah, God told him, says, you go build that boat. Noah says, why do I need to go build a boat? It's dry. We ain't got no water. He said, I want you to build a boat on that dry ground right there. And when Noah did, that's when the rain came. After he completed the ark there, that is when the rains came. That is when it really, right before that, is when he gathered all of the male and females of the animals, the birds, and everything, and he put them upon that ark. And then eventually the rain came, the floods came. And then he had to send out the raven. He had to send out the dove there. And when that dove went out, and when that dove didn't come back, then Noah knew that everything's going to be okay. Because he knew that dove had reached land somewhere. Now, he sent a dove out. He sent the first one out, and he come back. Why did he come back? Because he didn't see nothing like that. That where would be useful to him. So then the other dove, that he sent the other dove out. And he says, and Noah says, well, God, you know that we cannot continue and we could not sustain all the water that we have. That's not the very words he said, but in thinking about that, he sent out another bird. Not a bird, but a dove. He sent out that dove, and that dove went out. And the dove did not return that day. It did not return the next day. So Moses and Noah and all the people at that time, they knew that something was out there to sustain their life. And we see where Moses there, he was put in the ark of a basket where his mother had went down there, and because they were going out and killing the male children at that time, and she did not want her male child to be murdered in the way that they was murdering them back then. So she went. And she went down to the riverbank where she's always went. and gathered water before. But when she went there that time, she noticed something else that was there. It was there before. But she really didn't pay no much attention to it at the time. But this time she does. She pays attention to it because the water, the river, had got out on its banks. Had went down and the mud and everything had started gathering up and everything around kind of muddy and everything. So she got an idea. She says, I don't want my son to lose his life. So I need to do something for him. So she went and she gathered up some sticks and everything. It was close by. It was close by the way she and her wouldn't have to worry about Moses, that Moses would wander off and maybe go into the river. And she took the sticks and she made a little small boat there out of them sticks. And after she'd woven the sticks into place all around that little boat, that way that she was going to place her son in. Then she went and she grabbed up some mud. And she had dabbed the mud all around there in that little basket where she could lay her son in and would not have to worry about maybe the boat leaking or whatever. Now, I know something about that because I can go back and I can remember when my granddaddy, when he was raising tobacco, that he would always go to the barn before the harvest started coming in, and he would go there and he'd always have somewhere there that he could go to and he could gather up the red clay. It would be dry. But he would go and gather that red clay up. He would come bring it back to the barn, and then he would take it. And he would add a little water to it. And he had add a little water to it. More water. And more, to when it got to the point that he could take it and dab it in there. Dab it in between the logs. He could throw it in there. And it would be there. Then he'd go back and smooth it out. Then he would cure it with the heat that was in the barn. Just like the God the Father, he cured the pitch that she took that day and put it in between the sticks and everything, and he dried it out. I don't know if his son had been out, but God dried it out. But we also see where we had water there when the floods came. We also had the water there when the Israelites was out there traveling. And then they went to the edge of the water. And they turned around and looked back. And they seen the army coming in the chariots. They was coming. And then all of a sudden they stopped. They stopped and they got to looking. They said, we got them now. They can't go no farther. They can't cross over. They can't cross over into the promised land. They can't cross over because it's too deep for them. That's what they thought. That's what they thought. Then they prayed, and the Israelites, they prayed, and they asked Moses there to open, to pray to unto God, that God would make a way for them to get on the other side. To get on the other side. And he did. The closer the army got to them, they kept getting closer And it kept getting closer and closer. And see, sometimes you'd wonder why. Well, why did they have to get so close? Well, we know the story of that, don't we? We know that God, He took and He opened the river, the water. Great big old wave on both sides there. He opened it. And the Israelites, they went on to travel to the other side on dry ground. And as soon as the last one got in the middle of the opening there, the Lord says, well, now is the time that the army's going to really get closer. So the army, they still looked and they seen where the opening was there. And it was dry ground because of the dust that they had seen when the individual was traveling through there. Ain't it amazing what God can do? It's amazing how God works. It's amazing in what God can what God can do for us if we would just allow Him. If we would just allow God to work in our life and to where we can work for Him. But as soon as that last individual got on the other side, and as soon as his feet hit the promised land, hit the ground, he was out of the water, out of the danger of the water. Well, here comes the chariots. They was coming. The army was coming. And they was coming, and they would head right straight to them. They done got into the water. The woman hadn't got into the water yet, but they got in between where God had took and opened up the water. Where no water, nothing but dry ground. So they said, well, hey, man, we got it made now. We're going to get to the other side. And when we get to the other side, they're going to pay it for it. They're going to pay for what they done. They're going to pay for it. You know, that reminds me of something else too. What we do, we're going to pay for it. We're going to pay for it if it's right or if it's wrong. But it's going to be a whole lot harder on us if we did not obey God. You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? Now, you've also told us once before that He does not bring up our past sin. No. He does not bring up our past sin that was before that we got saved. But every sin from the day that we got saved, every sin that I committed from the day that I got saved until the present day, I have to give an account for every idle word that I've said. I have to give an account of what I've done with God. I have to give an account. And when I get there, God's going to say, well, Donnie, Peter, go on, let him come on in. He's all right. He's saved. Praise God, he's been serving all his life, just about. Let him in. It ain't going to be that easy. It ain't going to be that easy. Oh, it's going to be easy for us to be able to go on the other side of the gate. But then we've got to face the judge at the judgment. At the judgment seat of Christ. That's where we're going to be judged. That's where we're going to be judged in what we have done since we've been saved. And the things that God has spoken to me about, the things that God wanted me to do for Him, and I refused to do it, and I did not do it, I'm going to give an answer to God for every bit of it.
Some people don't even think that they're going to have to give an answer for nothing. That they're going to go to heaven, and when they get to heaven, it's going to be fine, and it's going to be dandy.
And just getting to heaven, yeah. It's going to be glory in itself. But what we have to realize some things. We have to realize that it's consequences that we have to face. He never did promise me. He never promised me the first time that if I go out and sin against him. He didn't promise me. He said, well, don't worry about it. It's not going to be brought up. He didn't promise me that. He did promise me if I would come to him and confess my sins and name it to him and ask him to forgive me of my sin and to wash me once again, to crucify me once again. He did promise me that he would never remember that part, that he would never remember that sin, the sin that I brought up and asked for forgiveness for, but the sin that slipped my mind. And you know, I can't help it. I can't help us to believe that people in general, that there's anyone that can honestly say and can honestly go before the judge, says, thank you for saving me. And that they've never sinned since. I don't believe that. I just don't believe that an individual that's doing God's work and has the devil teaching them the things that he teaches. I just can't believe it. Because we all have that little pet sin that we just don't want to let go. Hey, I'm just as guilty as anybody else. But when I do think about it, I do ask God, I said, God, right at the very moment, I can't tell you exactly what the sin is that I've done. I don't know exactly what I said or what I said wrong to somebody. Or if I missed the scripture and I said something about the scripture that was wrong. Lord, I don't know what scripture it was where I was reading from. I don't know what I studied. And I go to him, I say, God, I confess it. I confess my sins to you. Every last one of them. I know, Father, that I have sin in my life that right now I cannot bring to remembrance. Father, I'm getting a little old. I'm getting a little old now. My mind's getting ready to go. I can't remember like I used to. I can't do this like I used to. So please, God, forgive me for what I cannot remember. I believe God forgives. I really do. Because I got to thinking this week with my wife and my daughter going to the hospital and seeing my mother and everything. And They said that she had a real good night. The morning dad had a real good morning so far. She won't hurt him, she won't holler him, she won't do nothing. But they told Shelby and Christy, said, but Shelby, just as soon as you get here, she starts out a hollering because she's in pain. Now, we can look at that a million different ways. But I know the reason that she done it, because she don't know the difference in pain or nothing. She don't know the difference when she's in pain or when she's hurting from whatever, I don't know. But I told my wife, I said, one thing I can say, you done spoiled her rotten. She wants you there. She does. She wants her there every minute. I mean, it's usually around 6:30 in the morning when she starts getting them to call her. But do I honestly believe that God will keep that? Out of her life when she's going to have a new body? Because when we all get to heaven, we got certain things that we're going to have to do. We got certain people that we're going to go see. There's going to be certain people that's going to go see, come by and see us and say, you know, I was watching you on the job the other day, sister. And as you was there on the job and all the people were around you, they didn't care anything about you. They didn't care anything about God. But you just sit there and you just was quiet. And you just went and you just went through the motions of that day. You didn't cause no disturbance at all. So, sister, come over here. Come over here and walk with me a little bit. Here she comes. Sister Nancy coming. One that's walking with her. She says, you know, back then when you was having, they was having all kind of problems there where you worked at. They didn't know what they was doing, but you just stayed on in there. You just stayed on in there and done your job. You didn't complain. You didn't tell the people. They don't know what they're doing. You just stayed right there on the job. I want to introduce you to somebody. You didn't think that they'd be here. Because that was one of the individuals that you knew, probably that you knew, would never have an opportunity to ever get saved. Because of the mouth that they had on them. Because of the different words that come out of the mouth. And sister, you know, it doesn't make no difference how close we are to God. When somebody is abusing God and abusing the people that they're around, with all the vulgar and the language that's coming out of their mouth, you probably didn't say it, but it was probably on the back of your mind.
feel so sorry for them. God's not going to save somebody like that. But you know something? That's the very one that Jesus died for. That's the very one that Jesus died for. And just because, Sister Nancy, you just kept on doing your job. You kept on just talking the way you need to talk, like a Christian needs to talk. Glory to God, hallelujah. That other individual's got you by the hand and taking you to see this other individual. And you walk up. And they said, no, it's not you. Is that you? Is that really you? She said, yeah. You know, one day, we had stuff going on down here, and people were just playing, and they didn't care about the job or nothing like that. Says, but I noticed you there still working. Still working. You won't complain. You're still working. She says, Sister Nancy, now, I know now what you was doing. You was living the Christian life before me. You was living a life that I did not understand. And this is exactly when God the Father and God the Son released the Holy Spirit on me. And the Holy Spirit convicted my soul. And I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and to save my soul. You know, that happens. That happens more than we can count. Because it does happen. The people I hear that don't go to church, that won't come to church or whatever, they have so much more that's been offered them. And so much more pleasure that it gives them the idea that, you know, I'm young. I can wait a while longer. No. He didn't say in the scripture, says, well, you can wait a while longer and then I'll save you. Nope. He says, today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week, but today is a day of salvation. You must come to Jesus when the Holy Spirit speaks. And that's when the Holy Spirit is working within our own lives. Because of not just Sister Nancy, could be Sister Huff, could be Sister Donna, could be Brother Bill, it could be my wife, Sister Shelby, Sister Irma, Sister Betty. Yes, preacher, can be even you. People are watching us. People are watching me. And if I stumble one bit, they will take that and they will run with that. They say, well, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be no part of it. How many times have you heard that? I've heard that ever since I've been saved. If that's what a Christian is like, I don't want to be one.
We know that when Jesus Christ, when he was hanging down on the cross of Calvary, we know that it just did not end there with him placing the crown upon his head and piercing his skull that where the blood would come out and would trickle on down in front of his body down to the ground. And then they took both of his arms and stretched his arms out. And they nailed him to the cross. Then they took his legs and they crossed his legs. And they drove that spike or that nail through both of his feet. They'd done that. And then they took him and then they, I don't know how many it was, probably one, it was under one arm on the cross, and the other was on the other arm on the cross, and there was probably somebody else that was lifting up the base of the cross. And they took and they lifted the cross up. Now, they could have been gentle with it. They could have just took it and
kicked it
and slide it a little bit where it would fall into place. But no. No, they didn't do things back then the easy way. They didn't do things back then the moral way. They picked up the cross. And when they picked up the cross, the man that was holding the bottom part of it, he picked it on up. I don't know how far it was from the ground, but he took it and they centered it right over the hole. And I'll tell you how much compassion they had. If they had compassion, they had all the compassion that they needed. But the compassion that they had, they just let go. They just let go of the cross. And the cross went down the hole, and when it did, it hit the bottom. It hit the bottom. And it jarred the Savior's body. Then blood started coming out of his wrist. More blood coming out of his forehead. And more blood coming out from his feet. What am I saying? Without the blood, we don't have no salvation. Without the blood, we don't have anything. We don't have no hope. But with the blood, we have all hope. And we have the way to go. And that's through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He paid my sin debt. He paid your sin debt that day. But yet, the soldiers or the guards or whatever that was sent there by Pilate and everything, they said, "We don't really know if he's dead or not. We got to make sure. Because if we don't, and if we get back, and they come to find out that he's still breathing just a little bit, you know what's going to happen to us? We're going to be shot. Or we're going to be killed by the sword." So they picked up his sword. They picked up his sword, and on his right side, they took the sword, and they touched the skin, and then they pushed it on in, and they pushed it on in, and they pushed it, and they pushed it, and they pushed it, and when they did, I believe they probably went and twisted it just like that. Where the sword went in and the blade was that way, but when it come out, it come out sideways. Now, the scripture don't say it. That's what I'm thinking, and that's what,
anybody, if it can prove me different, you know, go on, prove it. And I'll go with you. Because I ain't going to argue with nobody about the word. God stands on his word. And as God stands on his word, I'm going to stand on God. So, but all of that said and done, we see right here in, that was basically my introduction, but you know, I just got one verse I'm going to read here. But it says right here, in verse 34 of the chapter 19 in the book of John, chapter 19 and verse 34, he's speaking of what I've been trying to get to. And it says, but one of the soldiers with the spear pierced his side. Now, that word pierced now, it could mean several different things. It could mean that they took the spear and they went and they touched his skin and then started piercing it. Because I can go back and I can remember some individuals that, especially, I don't know, young people today, they get all these holes in their ears and their tongue and all of that, nose and eyebrows and the belly button, all of that and everything. But I hear they're piercing the ears. Now, I understand what they do. They freeze the lobe of it, right? I don't know. But if he do, or if he don't, they're not going to take that lobe there and put something behind it that would be solid there that could take the pressure. No, they do it easy. And they say the easier it is, the worse it's going to hurt. Or the worst, it's not going to hurt. Or something. But we can look at that word pierced in several different ways. But it says, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. And forthwith came there out blood and water. Blood and water came at once. The same thing. So the water means a whole lot to me. And I know it does to you too. But to some people, they said, well, preacher, I've listened to you on the internet and everything. I've listened to some of your messages. I said, preacher, I just can't come and feel like I can hear somebody talking about the blood. A bloody religion. Says, you know, we're having people shot all the time. I mean, it wasn't but a couple of weeks ago, I had one of my neighbors out there. I mean, one of the small children out there, a teenager, was shot and killed. There was blood running.
I don't need to come to church and hear about the blood. Because I see it all the time. I said, but the thing about it is, the blood that you've seen is not the same type of blood I'm speaking about. The blood that I'm speaking about is your way to get into heaven. It's your way to get into heaven. If you don't believe in the blood, you're not going. I'm sorry. That's what I've had people argue with me about that. That's okay. I don't care. If you don't believe in the blood, I'm sorry. You ain't going. Because if you don't believe in it, then you ain't never been washed in the blood. And I love that old song, I've been washed in the blood. I've been washed in the blood. I wish I knew the words to the whole song. See, I know that I've been washed. I've been washed in the blood, and I was not sprinkled in the blood either. And I was not one of these that came and as a new baby, a new child that came into, just come into existence when it brought the birth of an infant child here and carried that child to the front of the church and then sprinkle that child with the water or take that child and take the water and let it go over his body. Why do people want to do that? They have to realize that young child there, if that young child was to lose his last breath right there at the very moment, that child is going to heaven. It ain't no blood, no water, nothing going to change the fact. You're going to heaven. But you know, some people, they got their own traditions. Oh, that's the way mama used to do it. I can remember grandma taking one of my other children, one of the other brothers or sisters up there. And they done it. And they done it. Mama and grandma, grandpa, they all done it. Tradition. We need to get away from tradition. And we need to get back to reality. Because tradition is not going to get us any closer to God. But if we get to the reality point of our life and whom we're serving, and if God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, He does not change, then we won't have to worry about holding on to this or holding on to that. Yes, it was good when grandma was there and the preacher was up there preaching. You didn't have to worry about it. And the people didn't have to worry about it. Well, if we come into church today, when he opens the Bible, what's he going to be reading from? Is he going to be reading from the NIV? Is he going to be reading from the Living Bible? Is he going to be reading from the New King James Version? Or what is he going to be reading from? No, they didn't have to worry about that back then. They knew if they come to church, that they was going to hear the Word of God. That's what they knew. They knew if they come to church, they was going to hear the Word of God. And people come to church. You know why? Because they didn't have all the other things that the young people and we have today in society. See, they didn't have no places where they could go to on Wednesday night. And on Sunday, they could not even go to the market down there and buy some food or whatever. They won't open. And there wasn't no places open on Sunday night. So they say, well, I tell you what, let's go, Mom, I won't go to church tonight. And the whole time, that young man, he's thinking about Mama, said, Mama, I want to go to church tonight. And Mama says, you do? He says, yeah. And Mama's thinking the whole time. She said, well, shoot, man, he's getting in, ain't he? He wants to go to church all the time now. I mean, he's just hanging in now. But what Mama didn't know was what was bringing him to church back then was that little blonde headed lady, that little girl down there. But that was okay. Hey, if that's what we need to get in here, to get some blonde headed young girls in here, to get the young people come to church, what are you going to have after they get here? What are you going to have? You're going to have trouble. You're going to have problems. And I don't know about you, I don't need no more problems. I don't need no more troubles. The only thing I need is more of God. That's all I need. I need more of Him. And I tell you what, really, I would love to have a church full of people here in the church just like each one of you. I really would. Because I know in what y'all believe. And I know in whom you serve it. And I know that each one of you want the lost to get saved. And I know each and every one of you want your family, your grandchildren, your children, your uncles, your aunts, your nieces and the nephews, your friends, the neighbors and everything. You want them all in church. I very doubtly would say that I could probably ask you to raise your hand if you did not know somebody that you'd love to see them in church. If you did not want them in church. You know why? Because I know that's not you. I know that the God that you're serving is a God that wants to save the people out here that's in the gutter. He wants to save them all to the uttermost. He wants to save them all. And you know, I'm going to say this and quit. I promise you. You know, in saying that, that if all of us would just take an hour of our time this week, I mean, we don't have to do it all at one time. We can split it up into 15 minutes or half hour. But if we would just be sincere and go to God and beg God to save that individual, to save somebody, allow somebody to come to church and say that they just got saved because
somebody was praying for me. That was to happen. And if they come down, hit the altar and they bowed, and they thank God for saving their soul, and they thank God for the individual that prayed for them, do you realize what it would do to Faith Baptist Church? Do you? I want it to happen. If nothing happens, I just want to see somebody come in and get saved. I just want to see somebody saved. I want somebody to tell me that they know somebody just got saved. But that's few and far between today. Why? Because the devil has so much more out here to offer them. And yet we don't have anything per se. What they're thinking about. But we have everything to offer them. We don't have to offer them anything, because what we offer them doesn't have a price on it. Oh, it was a price on it, but we don't have to pay one red. We didn't have to pay one red cent. But see, Jesus, he paid the ultimate price on Calvary. Who was he paying it for? For you and for me and whosoever. I sure am glad that the Lord and the Holy Spirit allow John there to pin them words down there. In John 3:16, for God so loved the whole world. For God so loved me. And for God for so loved you. That he would go to Calvary. And he would hang on that cross for me. I didn't deserve it. Let me tell you what I did deserve. Hell. That's what I deserved. I didn't deserve anything any less than hell. But I'll tell you what. But God gave me a way out. He paid the ultimate price. Stand to your feet. Head bowed and eyes closed. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Now, Lord God, we just ask that you would just go with us. And Father, if something was said this morning, Father, from the Holy Spirit that spoke to the people, Father, and even spoke to me, Lord, if it's anything there, Lord, that we need to come and bring it to the altar, Father, we don't need to wait any longer. We need you just to come forward and to bring it to an old-fashioned altar where you are there just waiting for us to come. The altar means so much. If it wasn't for the altar, where would we be? If it wasn't for the altar, where would we be? If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I know where I would be. And I would not be alone neither. I would be in hell today. But I thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your long suffering. I thank you for your grace. And I'm thankful for you, for going to Calvary and to hanging on that cruel cross that day for an individual like me. I know I'm not even worthy to even pray. I'm not even worthy to even speak to you. I'm not even worthy to call you my Lord and my Savior. I know I'm not worthy. But Father, the reason that I do it is because I know what you've done. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you, Father, for making me whole. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah.